Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Letehan.
Actually, two great songwriters and producers with us today. It's an Efronized world. We just live in it. And last time we had Efren White on, and look, you both got married since
still engaged.
Are you still engaged?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you got engaged since last time. Lauren Blaine is with us too. Efren White and Lauren Blaine.
We're trying to sell a few CDs so we can afford to get married.
<No way. laughs> That's
so great. Come on, go to EfrenMusic.com.
All the writers in town know Efren and music lovers here in town because most of them all have one of your bumper stickers on their guitar cases like I do. Mine says Efren White, Efren Wright, but there's also Get Efrenized and all those areas. Yep. You guys do a really good job of promoting yourselves.
Thank you.
Really amazing. So you've got a brand new record out. Came out on February 14th, so Valentine's Day gift to all of us. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you for receiving you. It.
Uh-huh. No, it's amazing. And you both produced it. And and I want to play a song from it right away. Can we do the title cut?
Sure.
And then we're going to talk about it because there's so much to talk about on this new record. Some amazing artists, where you produced it, all that. There's some great stories all here on the Songwriter Connection. So
this guitar, my voice don't sing along, my foot can't keep a beat to the tick of a metronome. I'm a clumsy contradiction, I'm a picker, but I'm all thumbs. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, it's my heart that plays these songs. I went to see the record man. He laid down the rules of the game. You're gonna need a lot of money if you want the fame. We'll put a band together, dye your hair in neon tones. No thanks, I'd rather go solo. It's my heart that plays these songs. Check out the scene and find a cool place to play. I talked to the bartender at a bar down on Broadway. He said, we dig your music, can you play bad tombone? I don't do jukebox covers, it's my heart. Thank you. with my baby. She's smoother than a guitar neck. I was playing on her heartstrings to her syncopated breath. She said your love is a melody and you never sing it wrong. I just do it the way I feel it. It's my heart that plays these songs. I'm a clumsy contradiction. I'm a picker, but I'm all thumbs. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. It's my heart that plays these songs.
Great song, title cut from the brand new album from Efren White. It is My Heart Plays These Songs. It's not the guitar, it's not the voice, it's all coming from the heart.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Isn't that where most songs start, right there?
Yep.
And being at a technical disadvantage when it comes to playing guitar and stuff, all I have to rely on is what's there in my heart.
There you go. Can't go wrong going there.
No.
Produced by both of you, Lauren and Efren. And the amazing musicians on this record. We heard two fiddles in that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Fleener, who is how many? Five CMA Awards as Instrumentalist of the Year.
Something like that.
Crazy like that. She's amazing. And who was the other fiddle player?
Robert Bowen.
And he's got a...
Yeah, Robert was Bill Monroe's last fiddle player.
May imagine. So imagine that. Father of Bluegrass. There's so many other great names on this record. Kimberly Dahm, I adore her. She played bass for the band Boston when they were on the road.
She's great.
First female bass player with Boston.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I remember first meeting her in Nashville, and this was years and years and years ago, and she's beautiful. She's 10 times taller than me. I'm a little guy. And I'm looking up to her, and I go, "Hi, I'm Dave Lynn." She goes, "Hi, I'm Kimberly Dahm. I'm with Boston." I'm like, "Boston?" I thought she said, "From Boston?" She goes, "No, like, you know, more than a feeling." And I went, "Wow." I adore you. I'm not worthy. My friend Ricky Randolph playing drums.
Ricky's
been on this show. He's a monster. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was getting a little concerned about this CD up to the point when we brought Ricky in. And Ricky laid those drums down in that CD or this album. Came to life. The songs started breathing.
He's quite talented and has played with so many different people.
Michael McDonald,
yeah.
He's currently touring with a bunch of different people, too.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, he's incredible and just a great guy. You got Robert Bolin, we talked about. John Inman on guitars and things.
Yeah, John Inman was just recently here inducted into the Texas Legends Hall of Fame.
Wow. Legend.
As a musician, and producer.
Yeah, and he played with Jerry Jeff Walker for about 20 years.
Yeah.
The Los Gonzo Band.
He's played on this CD and the previous two of my CDs.
Amazing.
We're good friends.
It's amazing the talent you pull together. This is just fantastic. You got to be proud of this record, and you both produced it. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the challenges of producing a record. I mean, Lauren, what do you think? I mean, is it... it seems like a daunting task.
You know, when we started this album, Sean Camp was going to produce this.
Sean Camp is a legend in this town, a great songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, can I just, real quick, I remember when Lauren Musetti was on, was American Idolist on? They were dating at the time, but he played guitar for her.
Uh-huh.
And right away, as they came up on stage, Luke Bryan? Yes, he was one of the judges. I was going to almost say Blake Shelton. That's the other show.
No, no.
And Luke recognized him right away. And the other two, Katie, and Lionel Richie. Said, "You know him?" He goes, "Oh yeah, that's Sean Camp." They go, "Really?" He goes, "He's badass.
He's a badass.
He's badass." Oh yeah, he is. How about that?
Heck yeah.
So anyway, we see you guys are old buddies, huh?
Yeah. Well, not old buddies, but we
both from Arkansas.
Yeah, both from
Arkansas. In fact, Lauren Musetti, who I've been a buddy with for the last 10 years since we both came to Nashville, She introduced me to Sean.
Is she okay?
And so Sean was going to produce this album for us, but it was during COVID and everything. We had lots of interruptions, and then Sean got busy with his own, doing his own material. And so I decided that Lauren and I, with Lauren's brain behind here, because she's got a great ears for producing and arrangements and all that.
Thank you.
So I thought, heck, we're going to be producers.
We're going to do it.
So we did it. And I tell you what, not to degrade the people that helped us before, but I'm happier with this album than any album I've done.
It's good. So it's far. A great piece of work. It really is a great work of art. Tell us a little bit more about this studio recording, because there's just some history there in it. Sean put you into the studio, told you about this studio.
Sean did. Because he recorded in their lots in the past. And of course, he'd worked a lot with Guy Clark.
Guy Clark. Yeah. Who said that you did the best version of his L.A. Highway ever.
L.A. Freeway.
L.A. Freeway, rather, yeah. So this is recorded at Cowboy Arms Hotel and Recording Spa here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. That's Cowboy Jack Clements' studio. Jack has passed away, and his cousin, Bob Clement, now owns it.
Does he go by Cowboy Bob? Just wondering.
Oh, he goes by Cousin Bob.
Cousin Bob. Okay. Cowboy.
And Jack, actually, he's changed the name of the studio to the Clement House.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what it's known as now.
That's great. Yeah. Cowboy Jack, if you're not familiar, Google him. He discovered Jerry Lee Lewis, did a lot of those Sun artists, and Waylon, and lots of other folks.
Johnny Cash.
Wonderful studio.
Yeah, you wrote Ballad of a Teenage Queen for Johnny Cash. It's a heck of a studio, huh?
Yeah, wonderful. It's the most comfortable studio I've ever played in, you know. I felt real at ease there.
And the engineer.
It must be the spirit of Cowboy Jack. Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Oh, yeah. And the engineer, help me with his name.
Cameron Davidson.
Okay.
He's a MTSU grad.
Wonderful.
And I call him magic behind the mixer. He's just, we go, can you do something with that?
Can he?
Oh, yeah. There, done.
I know, it's amazing. It's amazing what they do. Engineers, got to have a good engineer today.
Yeah.
They can make you or break you.
And that's one thing about producing, too, is that, like what Wedderburn was saying, is that I knew what he wanted, but by his own admission, he says, I don't communicate with musicians real well as far as being able to tell them what I want. Now, I've been in the music stuff for 30 years probably in L.A. And studios there and different things, right? And so I was more like a translator. You want what?
Lauren understands me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of an abstract thinker. So I tell her these abstract ideas, and she knows what I'm talking about, and she knows how to interpret them and get those ideas across to the other musicians.
And I think what people need to realize about you, too, is that you're a visual artist as well. Yeah. Your art is absolutely amazing. You designed this record, didn't the cover? I've seen you at Writer's Rounds, waiting to go on, or just after you've played, and he'd be sitting there with his sketch drawing the artist on stage, and you look over his shoulder and you go, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing, pretty amazing. So, good stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah. So
I was an art major back in college, and I kind of left that behind over the past couple of decades. And I'm just now trying to get back into it. And I actually put together enough work recently to have a show in Franklin. The Art Forge at Franklin.
Wow.
And
I would have liked to attend that.
Yeah.
Got to do it again.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me know.
Wow. I'll try to do it again. Wow. And since that show, I haven't been that productive. I think I wore myself out trying to get ready for that.
I got you. I bet. But, I bet.
But I'm gonna keep trying. I'm gonna plug along.
Well, we got him a studio now too. We moved out in the country there in Linden.
Uh-huh.
And
that's west of town, west of Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. West. Yeah. It's west Tennessee. North.
West Tennessee.
Much. Okay. And there's the house, but then there's also this kind of four-car garage.
Ooh.
That he took a calf of and made into a studio. And that was always my thing. It's like,
nice.
Where can we make you a studio? Can you do it on the deck? No, I can't do that because I have to leave the paints, blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah, I've got some elbow room now.
You've got some elbow room. Now you can actually go out there and paint a canvas.
Yeah.
You know.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Now, was music always a part of your art? Or when did it
Yeah, it always has been.
Uh-huh. Since you were a kid?
Yeah. I took a few lessons when I was about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've just taught myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also took his brother's guitar.
You took it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I took it. My brother got a guitar for Christmas, and never did anything with it. It just sat there until I picked it up and started fooling around with it.
And his brother Eddie started playing all these Dylan albums.
Oh.
And, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yep.
Some major influence.
That's what ruined me for life.
Can blame it on your brother, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Lauren, you came from Oregon originally, and you started as his manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that all come about?
We had become friends, you know, from the Commodore and different
playing
things.
Playing the Raiders
around town.
Rounds, right. Yeah.
And one day he said, hey, you know, I'm sorry, help me out with her name.
Lily Hyatt.
Lily Hyatt.
I had seen her and I really liked her mentioned it to him. He goes, hey, you know, she's playing out at the Cavern. You want to go? I said, well, that'd be a lot of fun. So it took an hour and a half to get down there.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, he heard me on the phone talking with somebody who wanted to help with the contract, and because I've managed before. And after we saw the show, he comes out, he goes, well, you manage people. Mm-hmm. Why don't you manage me? And I did this little checklist of it. Let's see, he's got 4 CDs so far, so I know he's persistent. He doesn't party and drink and do drugs and all this stuff, which is one of my criteria. I just, it's babysitting then.
Yeah, babysitting then, yeah.
Yeah, and...
he doesn't throw chairs off of the roof. Chiefs downtown.
Oh, my God.
That crazy.
At the police.
At the police, yes.
But I kind of did this Terminator. Remember how the Terminator made this little list and said, and I said, okay.
Yeah.
So it took us about 6 months to get together with the contract and this and that and the other thing, and we signed the contract. And so for a year, I was only his manager.
Wow.
And we made some changes and started the image changing. And
that's what I thought you were forever going to be.
Yeah, I
just
know.
Just my manager.
We were
little did you know.
But, and we were hardcore just manager and artist. But then I started looking at him and going, you know, he's really a decent human being. Shut up. Leave the man alone. This is business, you know. And then he started playing this one song and talked about, you know, how can you not tell the person you care about him and all. And I thought, why are you doing this? Oh. So finally I had to tell him. I thought it's either going to break the whole business thing up or whatever. But it ended up working out so that now we're together and engaged and stuff. And we're definitely all right.
That worked out pretty well then? I mean,
so far, so good.
Yeah, so far, so good. Some people can't work with their significant others, you know. And some can, some, you know, it's...
We're together 24/7 pretty much.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. That's good. You can just tell
I have to go out to the barn sometimes.
to
get a little privacy.
Yeah.
Go to the barn right now.
I did send him to his room. There's a song on this album called The Sailor Song.
The Sailor Song, yes.
And it was right in the middle of the pandemic, and we were locked in, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I want to just say I don't feel like I can find any time to write. Mm. And I said, you got 24/7 to sit around here and write. Well, come to find out, he was feeling guilty. He didn't want to start writing something without me. Isn't that sweet? And so I said, you get in that room and you don't come out till you got something. And so he came out, and what he had was a sailor song.
Well, Lauren, a beautiful song. You've got a few co-writes on this album, too.
Yes, I do.
So tell us about that process when you get together and decide to write, or does it just happen?
All the above.
All the above.
Yeah.
I usually have to be forced into
co-writing.
Co-writing, yeah.
With anybody, really.
Yeah. I have to really, I mean, it scares me to death to co-write. Mm-hmm. I have to really hype myself up a long time before I'm ready to go out and actually do it. I don't know. I guess it's a little bit of lack of confidence.
Oh, but, really? Now, see, I always think in a totally different direction, because what you are, and I preach about this all the time on this podcast, about being true to yourself. Find your own voice and be you. And yes, you're a Kerrville folk winner. You've played all these festivals all around, from 38 to the Merle Fest, all of these. And you've got such a unique style that you can only compare to Efren White. Mm. And so I thought, you know, as a co-write, do you want to share that? I mean, does it diminish that at all? And I imagine that you got to look for someone special that can add to that, not take away from that.
Right.
And that just seems like I use the word marriage made in heaven, even though it's not happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just sounds like a great combination for you two, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is. When we do write.
Like in Tennessee, that's in on Tennessee. The record too.
You're going to play that for us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a cool story about how you wrote that. Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah. he was out in the back deck, and we're in Tennessee. Uh-huh. And in August, by 10 o'clock in the morning, you're dripping sweat.
You are. Yeah.
So he was out on the deck sweating and writing this sultry little line. And I came out to see what he's doing, how he's doing, and I said, what you doing? He says, well, I'm writing this cheating song.
Cheating?
I said, oh, man, that is too pretty to write a cheating song.
Oh.
And so we worked together on it. I'm from Oregon, as you mentioned. And so Oregon got kind of worked into the song, too. But yeah, we ended up writing this really sweet song about long-distance love. And
yeah, in the heat of the moment in Tennessee.
And all the things you would miss, like that she would miss in Oregon about Tennessee and the lightning bugs and this and that.
Well, this is on the album, which is streaming everywhere. Check it out. My Art Plays These Songs is the record produced by Lauren and Efren. And let's do that song in Tennessee.
We'll
here's the live around the dining room table version.
Song, oh, will you find someone to touch your heart? Someone to melt you in the dark? If you can't see the stars in the sky above, just think about me and the lightning bugs. Come back here, share my front porch swing. In Tennessee, Tennessee. She says, Southern boy, you talk so nice, like a lazy river runs. You take your time to get somewhere, you never jump the gun. But I have ties to the High Cascades. I don't know how I can pull away, but as I watch the sun come up, I just wanna drink your sweet tea up. How long can I live without that smile in Tennessee?
Voices blend so well together.
Thank you.
So very well. Was that the first co-write for you guys together?
No. That was about the fourth.
Mm-hmm. No, the first one we wrote a Wise Guy song that we wrote with Jim Martin.
Oh, Jim Martin! Love Jim. Everybody does in this town. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a little break. We'll be back with Lauren and Efren of the Songwriter Connection.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Best Seller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Cool. You're listening to The Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
That would be me. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. By the way, if it's not too much trouble, go over to the, wherever you're listening this, do me a favor and go to the YouTube and find us and click like and subscribe. We're trying to get enough subscription there to eventually monetize on YouTube. We have to be on YouTube today, even though we're not a video podcast, but YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world right now. And it's beeping at me right now, thanking me for the plug. And eventually we hope to get to being a video podcast, but it takes a little monetary commitment, you know, cameras and things and switchers and stuff. And we're still trying to figure it out, but maybe you can help us get there. All right. I don't do a Patreon and ask you to give money because that's not why I do this show. I do it because I have a passion for songwriting and for interviewing folks. I mean, that was always my favorite thing to do in the radio years. And today our guests are Efren White. We're getting Efrenized again, or re-Efrenized, and Lauren Lane. Thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah.
Lauren,
I wanted to focus in on you just a little bit. You came from Oregon, but you spent a lot of time in L.A., right, in the music scene there. Tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, let's see. Well, just coming up in Oregon, I sang everything, everywhere.
Everything.
Meaning that I drive my family crazy. I knew every commercial, you know, I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
But then I moved to Portland first and then moved to L.A. So in L.A., I played at the world-famous Palomino.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so that's where I...
That's where you played?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's where I really started coming out and as a singer.
Were you writing then?
I was writing then, but I wasn't playing anything I wrote. I was still kind of timid, but but I met the great Cliffy Stone there, and he was running the show there, and so I played with the Palomino Writers, and all that stuff.
Incredible.
And so from there, time went on. I did a song in a movie.
Oh, good.
And that movie is I actually was an on camera band. My band was the on camera band.
What was the movie?
Private Debts.
Private Debts.
Yeah, with Billy Greenbush and Sheila Kelly way back in the day.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, time went on and just different things. I played with Harriet Schock, who's a significant writer, member of NARIS, and she wrote That Ain't No Way to Treat a Lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of the background singers that she won Cabaret Show of the Year that year and
That's
all
incredible.
That stuff. Yeah, and then later I got another song and film, but as time went on, I held so many hats. You know, I was a singer in the band, but I also promoted the band, but also this, that, and the other thing. And as time went on, actually, I started just really thinking about fame. And I was like, do I really want to be famous? Mm-hmm. You know, Madonna can't even go to dinner after
Think about it.
Working out and not looking like Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my turning point. It's like, do I want to walk through a supermarket like this and...
Mm-hmm.
Have everybody after me, and so I thought, well, what is it that is my passion? And my passion was writing.
Passion, the magic word.
Mm-hmm. And then I could be incognito, right? And and also promoting. I was really good at, like, with other bands and things. And then as time has gone on again, I managed Chili B. Chili B was a Bay Area rapper.
Okay.
I helped him with some things as he was going along, and Carmel Helene, who was a monster. She's great. She's not. We came to Nashville and did a bunch of stuff. But then she moved on to some other bigger name, manager. But you know, I have these experiences in managing and just with the music business, and the thing that really over all these years. The overriding thing is I would see somebody and go, there's talent.
Mm. Got an eye for talent.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just saw a girl last night. I can't remember her name. Caitlin something.
It wasn't Caitlin Crooker, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, man. I walked up to her. I said, don't you stop.
Yes.
Don't get involved in the noise of boys and this and that.
Caitlin's been on this show, and I'll tell you, I was working at the Ryman. Can I tell you this story real
mm-hmm,
quick?
Yeah.
Because we're in Ryman Auditorium, and one of the cool jobs I used to love was to work in the make a record booth.
Oh, yeah.
And one day, it was a Saturday, And this family comes in, mother, father, daughter, and a son. Mm. And mom says, well, my daughter sings, and we want her to do a record here. And she didn't look like she was going to have a part of this. She wasn't feeling good, and It was like, do I have to, that kind of thing. And she comes in, and we have a list of the songs in the book. Mm. And she goes to Jesus Take the Wheel, Carrie Underwood. And we have the tracks laid out. I do sing it. And I'm like, that's the hardest song that we have in that book, because Carrie's range is just amazing. And I always say and she was at the time maybe 13. And I was like, honey, you sure you want to sing that song? Because Carrie came sing that song when she has a cold. And she goes, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, well, it's, you need the lyrics. It's just open up. And she goes, I don't need the lyrics. She knew about Heartbreak. So we start playing it in one take. It just blew me away. I'm like, oh my God, she's hitting those high notes. And she doesn't feel well. And I'm like, Galen, I'm Dave. This is my card. I can help you. And at the time, they were living in Maryland. And her daddy was a pilot, at the Navy. But they eventually moved here. Uh-huh. And so we've stayed in contact. And she's just wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, I saw her play last night, and I was just like, oh, man.
Okay. She's talented. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to make a point to go find her, because I looked for her, and I guess she was in the ladies' room or something, but I came back in, and there she was, and I told her that, and her mom was there. Her mom got tears in her eyes. She goes, thank you for saying that.
I love her mom.
Oh, yeah. She's so sweet.
That is an amazing family. They're very tight-knit and close, and they're just wonderful people. So anyway, you've got an eye for talent, and I digress. I have my squirrel brain.
No, that's all right. So, anyway. That's why you're such good friends with that squirrel. Squirrel! But that's to just bring it up to this moment, that's what has been my torture, really, over the years, is I'll see somebody who's just amazing, but I can't do anything for them.
Yeah.
I'm not in a position to,
I feel that way too, Lauren. It's like, there are acts I see, Ashes and Arrows, who've been on this show. They're fantastic, from Asheville, North Carolina. Uh-huh. And I'm like, dudes, I wish I was a bigger deal than I am, because I just believe in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? You get that feeling? So I wish I could take you into these record labels and say, sign these guys. Sign this person.
What is the matter with you?
What is the matter with you?
I said the same thing to Taylor Swift when she was on MySpace. She was about 14. And I listened to her tracks, and I went,
whoa.
14? And I wrote her on MySpace, and I said, are you signed with any label or anything? Mm-hmm. She goes, no, we're in, where she's from, Iowa, whatever. And I said, what is wrong with this play? What is wrong with these people? She said, well, we're coming down, we're coming down. I said, well, you just beat the crap out of it, because
And she did.
Wow. Yeah.
All because of Lauren.
No.
All because of Lauren. She owes it all, Lauren.
I wish she owed me something.
Have you seen Brooklyn Summer yet? 13 years old?
Brooklyn what?
Brooklyn Summers?
No.
You haven't seen her yet?
Oh, Brooklyn. Yeah, I've seen her.
Have you seen
her? Have you?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Played with her on Sunday, and her voice, she does not miss a note. She's got perfect pitch. She just absolutely, and can soar like that. Mm-hmm. So there's another one. They need somebody needs to sign her right now.
Well, and see, that's what I saw in Efren when he says, why don't you manage me? Is it that little Terminator list?
Yeah.
And one thing that had struck me is his voice is so unique.
It is unique.
And his songs, when I heard Long Haul, but I really listened to Long Haul.
Go back to the last Efren White podcast. If you've never heard Long Haul, he does it there. Mm. And that's a song that's...
when he talked about, the cancer, and I'm not going to spoil the thing, but, I went, is that what he's saying?
That is storytelling at its best.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that's how I felt about Efren, too.
You know, since I've met Lauren, and she's gotten me looking and listening to other people's vocals and stuff, I have developed vocal things that I never would have done before.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody else knows it, but I know it when I'm singing, that I'm doing something that's been brought to my attention by Lauren. And so I'm grateful to her for improving my vocal athletics.
Taking you to a whole new level that you didn't know was inside you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, I had to listening to, I was just playing stuff that influenced me, like Phoebe Snow.
Mm-hmm.
I got to loosen my baby down by the sand. You know, that little trick stuff she does. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And now he's doing it?
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. But
they're just little things that I pay attention to now that I never paid attention. I never paid any attention to the way I was singing. But for one thing, I enunciate a lot better now than I used to.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so frustrating when we go to a songwriter round, and I've got some really people that I really admire. You get on the stage and start singing, and I can't understand the word they're singing. They're not enunciating their words as they sing. I mean, it's half of what the song is, the lyrics. Mm-hmm. So I need to know what you're saying.
And something important. I have written a lot with a girl who used to write for Motown.
Uh-huh.
And one thing she was saying, when you do your demo, because I used to have a little mealy mouth myself, too. I'm from Oregon. Everybody mumbles. she said that's one
never
thing.
Never knew
that. Yeah. Listen to Oregon people. They talk really fast, and they hard to put any kind of stop. I've seen words that talk like that. And,
there you go.
And, but she said there's nothing that pisses off a music executive worse than not being able to understand the songs. You can give them the lyric sheet. That's all good. But the people at home aren't going to have a lyric sheet.
No.
But it really makes them angry. They won't even listen.
Or sitting out in the crowd. They don't have a lyric sheet. Yeah. You know? And like I say, you're losing half the song right there. Mm-hmm. If I can't understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I try to be conscious of that when I'm on stage. Moving my lips.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Saying the ends of the song. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's important. So, but I never had trouble understanding the lyrics with Efren, ever. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got a long list of accolades, and we could be sitting here to the next to next year talking about awards and things that you've won. But I love it reading through what other people have said about you. And one of the guys I met recently, and I always wanted to meet him, he had his birthday party at the Commodore, and I went. Roy August.
Oh, love that guy, yeah.
Just a gem in this town. He's written a lot of great songs, including Sittin' Fancy Free with Jimbo Henson.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy August said this of you. He said, Efren White is the Willie Nelson of the 21st century.
Yeah, he did.
Unbelievable.
That's because I'm so old.
No. Well, how about Jerry Foster, who has written all those great songs, is in the Hall of Fame. He says he has more gravel in his voice than a mile of country road. We love that gravel.
Yeah,
love it. Don't ever lose that. Yeah. In fact, I think I want to hear more of that gravel right now. You want to do another song?
Yeah.
Something from the album.
Yeah, okay.
Something from the album.
Do Highway.
I was just about to do a brand new song.
Oh, well, you want a new brand? You know what? That's always a treat. Do a brand new one.
Or we can do Highway.
We can get this. We got to do it.
Yeah. And by the way, just to let people know, if you go to EfrenMusic.com,
yes,
if you order the physical CD, you get a download also for free.
Awesome.
Yeah. The download itself is like $12.99, something like that, because it's 14 songs. But you get the physical CD, you also get the free download.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
I've been writing with a guy named Chris Gantry.
Oh, my gosh. You've been writing with Chris Gantry?
Yeah.
Tell folks about Chris Gantry. He's amazing.
Chris is a wild man.
He is.
One of the original outlaws.
He's almost, I think he's 81 or 82.
Wow.
I think he's about to turn 80, 81 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still got the vigor inside.
That's right.
And, you know, he was best friends, like with Chris Christopherson, still is.
Shel Silverstein, all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew all those guys. Mm-hmm. And he wrote Dreams of the Everyday Housewife that Glenn Campbell recorded.
Awesome song.
And so it's been my honor and pleasure to be writing with Chris.
You brought him out to 12 Keys one night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just
the
amazing.
Last night that they were open.
A little round that I was running here in Hermitage.
Yes.
And I remember the owner says, "Oh my God, that's Chris Gantry." I go, "Yeah. He's here in my club." "Yeah, he's here."
"And you're closing."
"And you're closing." That was before we knew he was closing.
Yeah.
Should have got Chris out there earlier. Yeah.
Maybe it would have saved it. No.
Maybe.
But yeah, if you... Look Chris's book up online, Gypsy, what is it? Gypsy something in the alley.
Yeah.
Gypsy
Dreamers in the Alley.
Yeah, Gypsy Dreamers in the Alley.
We got to read that book.
It's really just a collection of Chris's Facebook posts.
Oh, wow.
But he really gets into songwriting and then talks about the history of... Nashville when things were really going big in the 60s and 50s
when
even.
Music grows.
Yeah.
But it's been really inspirational for me reading all that and then hanging out with Chris and writing these songs.
Oh, that's cool.
But this is
I can't wait to hear this.
This is the first one we wrote. I don't know the second one yet. I have to learn to play it.
But Efren plays this every day to kind of start his day because it's so inspirational.
Yeah.
Wow. It's called The Bet.
The Bet.
Yeah. Do the thing that I was born to do. Got no expectations. Just surprise me like you'd made a birthday cake. Give me one full breath to blow out all the candles like a mighty wind would blow the walls apart. Another day of stepping out, I shut my mouth, try leading from my heart. God is shooting dice again, they sound like thunder bouncing off the wall. He's betting that I'll make it through the day without a fumble or a fall. My ear with an offer awfully sweet. That old revolving door, I fell for that deal before, but this time I plan on landing on my feet. I've known folks in my life who swore that I didn't have it in me. Ain't that the way it is with anyone who's different than they are? It's the very difference that adds a touch of magic to a world sometimes too blind to see the light. The day has just begun. Here comes the sun, and I'm ready for the fight. God is shooting dice again, they sound like thunder bouncing off the wall. He's betting that I'll make it through the day without a fumble or a fall. Awfully sweet, that old revolving door. I fell for that deal before, but this time I plan on landing on my feet.
allowed a fumble or a fall. But the devil's in my ear with an offer awfully sweet. The old revolving door, I fell for that one before. But this time I plan on landing on my feet. This time I plan on landing on my feet.
That's amazing. That is new favorite Efren White song.
Really?
That's incredible.
Wow.
I love that.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris Gantry, yes.
Yeah.
Is he in Nashville now? Did I see he moved? Or does he come back a lot?
He lives in Dyer, Tennessee.
Right. Dyer, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's in West Tennessee as well.
Okay. You tell him he got to come to Hermitage to be on the Songwriter Connection.
I'll definitely come.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to have him on. He's a legend. What a great song. You guys, your styles match, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really feel this connection with Chris. Songwriting philosophically. And
yeah.
He's a songwriting brother.
Songwriting brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to have them. Absolutely. So, you know, I learn from everybody I co-write with. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned, I take something away from it, I swear. That's why I like to write with a lot of different people. It makes you grow as a songwriter. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what you learned working with a legend like Chris. Anything stick out in your mind?
No.
Just everything. No.
Yeah. It's just his enthusiasm for writing from the heart, you know, really strikes me. And, you know, he can be a pretty gruff guy, but he's not. He's really
down to earth,
got a soft heart. But, you know, he has some grit in there.
Well, you know.
Which I do.
And you do too.
I do too. I think.
Absolutely.
But I love the guy. I truly love him.
First time I met him was just a small writer's round that I was doing with a friend, and the friend had invited him, and I hadn't met him yet. I didn't know him from looking at it. And he sat there and he watched us play and, you know, and came up and, you know, said he liked the songs and everything. I didn't know he was at the time that he was going to play next. And when he introduced himself, I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. You know, but, you know, he sat there and listened and encouraged us all. And this was really good for legend. That's the kind of guy he is. So,
yeah, you know, there was you know, Bobby's Idol Hour got torn down to make some big stupid glass building
that they're doing on Music Row. Mm-hmm. Thank God they saved it and they moved it around the corner.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
However, when that was happening, the developers had a big meeting downtown, and down on Music Row, I should say, and there were probably 50 people there, and most of them were songwriters.
Yeah.
And here's Chris.
And he's part of it.
Shoot, man, he stood up and he just wailed on those boys. He's like, this is history. This place is history. That building right there, they wrote blah, blah, blah. That building right there. So what are you going to do for the songwriters? Well, you know, we'll open the bottom and you guys can, you know, we'll have a performance place. Will it be locked? Well, yeah. And I was so admiring him because he was just like, no BS.
Yeah.
Just come on, you guys. You are just...
It's amazing.
Because I came to Nashville in 91 when Music Row was Music Row. You could walk into a publisher's office and not even knock on the door.
No.
Just open the door and go. Yeah. Some nice lady would say, well, hi, honey, how you doing? How you doing? Well, I have a few songs if somebody has a minute to listen. Well, you just go sit right down there. You want some water? You want some coffee? No,
that's
thank you.
How it was. Good.
Yeah, that's how it was. And I'd sit there, wait maybe 15 minutes at the most. Guy come out, very pleasant, listen to my songs. He goes, we can't use any of these, but they sound good. You come back with your next bunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you go to the place and you ring the bell and you think, well, they just need to make sure you're okay before they leave. And they wouldn't even let you in me in.
Mm.
I was so appalled.
Oh, you can't even get in. That's right. I got the gatekeepers there. And I get so depressed. Drive down, you know, I'm not even going to get into that. But, you know, it's just like, we're building over all this history. It's just like Chris said, you know, across from WLEC, Nashville, legendary radio station, there used to be a beautiful row of houses there. And I used to go and I'd write there. Stephen Sharp was the first plugger I worked with, and he had a house right there. And you'd sit on that back porch and pick, and you never, Jeffrey Steele or all these great songwriters would just come by and hang, and it was just wonderful. It's all gone. It's a high-rise apartment now, and condos or whatever they put there. But a lot of Music Row has disappeared, unfortunately, and it's sad. It really is. We get visitors that come in. They want to see what downtown Lower Broadway is all about. So, you know, that's about the only time I get down there, except when I'm playing at Hank's Jr.'s Boogie Bar Songwriter Night. That I'll do. You know, and there's new Garth Place, and then there's the new Chiefs. There's all these different places. And then they want to see Music Row. And I go, okay, well, I'll show you where Music Row used to be. I'll show you what's left of it. You know, that used to be the Quonset Hut. That used to be, you know, it's sad because it's such history.
Yeah. I mean, things change. Of course, things got changed, but
I'm not against progress.
But. No, but when something's a historic building, you know, they almost got rid of the RCA building where that was recorded.
Where Elvis recorded. And Jolly. And
they were going to get rid of it.
And Chet's office was there. I mean, come on.
It's history.
It's history.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Why don't you take us out with one? We got time for one more. Efren White has been our guest, amazing songwriter, artist, and artist, visual artist, with a brand new CD out there right now, My Heart Plays These Songs. What are you going to close us out with? Oh, you've got that very special one to close us out with. I first heard you play it at the 12 Keys, and there's a little story behind it, so go ahead.
What's, are we talking
art.
About?
Work of work art. Of, yeah.
All right. There's no real story behind it, except I live with a beautiful, beautiful lady that inspires
Does
me.
Lauren know about that? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because she is gorgeous.
He's got her in the back bedroom.
She inspires
me. No, she is wonderful. I'm sorry for that stupid comment. Sorry. She is beautiful.
She inspires me visually and intellectually.
Yes,
every
has.
Other wise.
Oh. Yes, she does. That's
Thank
all.
You, babe.
Yeah.
If I took a little paint and put it on a canvas and swirled it all around, like old Van Gogh and Michelangelo, do you think I'd get the essence down? Would I capture your look the way you look right now, with eyes that see right through? Darling, I don't think I could ever paint a picture beautiful as you. How could anyone ever improve on the way that God made you? Blinded by the muse, even Rembrandt could miss the mark. Beholder, baby, you're a work of art. I could give it a try, but why would I wanna, with perfection right in front of me? That smile Leonardo painted on Mona can't compare with the one I see. And Venus on a half shell floating on the water is just an amateur fantasy. If only Botticelli had got to know you, baby, he might have stuck with reality. How could anyone ever improve on the way that God made you? Even Rembrandt could miss the mark. In the eye of this beholder, baby, you're a work of art. a song and sing it all day long with a melody that fits the rhyme. But I'd know in my heart I shouldn't even start, 'cause there's always a better line. Words couldn't shape the difference you make in my world of the here and now. No poet could envision a dream to replace just being here with you anyhow. How could anyone ever improve on the way that God made you? Blinded by the muse, even Rembrandt could miss the mark. In the eye of this beholder, baby, you're a work of art. How could anyone ever improve on the way that God made you? The light of the muse would leave Picasso stumbling in the dark. Baby, you're a work of art. In the eye of this beholder, baby, you're a work of art.
Coming from someone that knows art. Blending the two mediums there. That's fantastic. Lauren, did you cry when you first heard that song?
I was just... no, I didn't cry, but I was like, oh, stunned. My God.
You know, there's some great lines in there. Yeah.
As a songwriter, I was like, oh, man. Yeah. Gosh, you couldn't have done any better.
There's always a better line. I like that line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my. There's so many great things. Thank you both so much for coming back.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure and always is.
Same here, my friend. All the best with this new record. Streaming everywhere. But pick up a copy if you can on your website.
EphronMusic.com. That's EFFRON music.com.
And get Ephronized. And also, you're playing, people can catch you. On that webpage, do you have a list of where you're playing next?
Yeah,
I know you're Road Warriors. You're out there.
As a matter of fact, this is airing on the 15th.
Yep.
We're going to be in Arkansas.
Arkansas.
And doing some touring and some gigs out there. So
awesome.
All of you. Arkansas-ers.
I like that. Is that
Arkansas-ers? Yeah.
Arkansas-ers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think we just coined a new phrase. I like that.
It's incorrect.
What do you say? Because you're from Arkansas. What do you say? Arkansas night?
Arkansas-er.
But all you
Ephronized.
Ephronized Arkansas.
You're going to Ephronized Arkansas in May.
Yeah, but a lot of his old fans are there because he was in Fayetteville for 30, 40 years.
Wow.
So it'll be nice to see.
It's going home.
Yeah.
Old home week. It's great.
And
but
play these new songs.
You can see our entire schedule at the website, EphronMusic.com. And I try to keep it updated, but sometimes I get behind.
I do too. Sometimes I know that is. You got a manager that should help.
Yeah. I tell him, update the thing.
I'm your manager. I'm telling you, update the thing.
I've done more work since I've had a manager than before.
That's what it's supposed to be, right, Lauren?
That's right. I'll just build a website. I'll just do this. I'll do all the techie stuff.
That's right. You're wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time to be
amazing.
On the show.
Thank
you,
Dave.
Music. Love it. Catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.